What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Woo. My name is Matt Wolf, and woo boy over there is Joe Fear. And today we're gonna interview a second time guest. Mr. Brad Spencer is Mr. on the Spencer. Show with us today. Now, before I tell you about what we're going to talk about, we have a favor to ask. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast over on iTunes yet, please go over to iTunes. Literally, you can just type in hustleandflowchart.com. That'll take you to our iTunes page where you can subscribe. And if you haven't yet, please leave us a review. We're trying to climb the ranks of iTunes with this show a little bit, and we can really, really use your help. Now, Brad Spencer. What do we talk about with Brad Spencer today?
This guy has gotten very deep in two things, and basically making his time a lot more effective with what he's great at, what he loves doing, and all that stuff. He's gone through some training recently that he describes in very actionable steps how he's been able to trim like 7 hours off his day or something like that. He claims to he's working 3 hours a day now, which I believe. And then the other stuff, it's just doesn't even feel like work to him anymore. So he's created this perfect environment to be most effective. He's going to share that with you. And he also goes into some personality tests that he's run recently, and we actually did as well. So we go deep into what that test is. It's totally free, so you'll be able to test it or take it for yourself. And then you can actually act more effectively with what you're doing, but also with others.
Right. And as you learn on this show, I'm actually really anti assessments like this and personality tests. But this one is one that I actually get behind and think is very beneficial to people. And I'll explain all of that on this episode in a little bit.
Matt got converted. Woo!
On
everything.
Just
he's,
one.
I'm not analytical anymore.
I don't really care which Harry Potter character I am.
The hairy one. I don't know. All right. See you in the podcast.
Let's dive in. What is up, Brad? Thanks for coming back on the show and hanging out with us.
Veteran.
Awesome.
A veteran.
Yeah, veteran. OG.
A veteran hustler. Flow chatter.
Flow chatter. Yes.
So how have you been lately?
Oh, life is good. I'm just getting over our first big sickness with little man, so that's fun. We made it almost 2 years before he got like a really good sick. So he's just like a day or two ago getting over that. So
I know
the fun last week.
I just went through the same thing with our little one.
Something's going around. I feel like in the entire country, everybody seems to be sick right now. So something's going around for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, cool. We do have a slight agenda for this show, but I think this episode might be a little more free form than normal. Because, you know, Brad was telling us about some really cool stuff that he'd been working on, experimenting with. He sent us a cool little, I guess you'd call it like a survey. What do you?
No, it was an assessment.
Assessment.
Like assessment. Yeah.
So he sent us that. We all took the assessment and analyzed each other and psychoanalyzed each other. That was kind of fun. So we're going to have a discussion about all this stuff that's been going on. But the sort of grand theme of it all is that it's all about being more productive, creating a better life, a better lifestyle for yourself. And it all kind of ties back to that and to sort of working on your purpose and working on the stuff that motivates you and working on the stuff that you really enjoy. And we're gonna have a discussion around this stuff. And I think a good place to start is this reboot system that you just recently went through. And you kind of gave us some like little teeny tips about the reboot thing that you did, but let's talk about that for a second. So let's start by talking about what was that reboot that you did, and let's just have a discussion about it.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Yeah, so I did that in November. The whole month it was like a 30-day reboot, and the guy who I actually connected with because of the podcast was Brad Costanzo. And we've like since the end of October, him and I have like really built a good friendship, and we kind of known like loosely acquainted over the years. And I listened to one of his episodes that you guys had a few months back, and I was just like, hey, dude, like we think alike and, you know, love to build a friendship. And then we got on the phone a couple times and realized like him and I think a lot alike on certain things. And then like we have like very different approaches on other things, but we kind of roll in the same circle. So he actually in one of our calls was like, hey, I know you like the 80-20 stuff from Perry Marshall, and like you recommended that book to me. And I just had like lunch with him or whatever. I think it was at a conference. And he's like, he's starting this thing called the Reboot. And I was like, oh, okay. So he's like, he sent me the video. We talked about it. He told me kind of like what it was going to be. He's like, I've already enrolled. You know, so I'm not an affiliate or anything, but you know, it was, you know, $300. So I'm like, oh, this would be great. And like, so I didn't even watch the video. Like I just bought it off his recommendation because Perry had told him, dude, you'll love this. So I was like, okay, well, that's a good recommendation. It was kind of like what I was looking to do at the time. And I, you know, I was kind of, you know, 2017 was a great year for me. But one of the things that I kept kind of running into over and over was, I noticed I was making some similar mistakes over and over, and they kind of had different details and circumstances, but they always kind of felt the same. And I was like, yeah, I'm just doing a lot of stuff I don't really enjoy. And then, you know, like how can I cut through this? And, basically, I took the reboot and we started out the first couple of days that we had, like every day there was a homework assignment. You fill out this like form, you have like five or things you got to check. So you're tracking stuff and building those habits. But the way it was every day we got an email. And every day it was something to like really open you up. So like, it's not so much the work. Sometimes it was only 5 or 10 minutes, but each day it was like a mini paradigm shift would be the best way to describe it without getting the details. Mm-hmm. And when I went through that, in that month, the amount of changes, because they started to compound like super quick, like a very fast returning investment. And it was kind of weird how like, I was like, wow, like, you know, you get rid of like, you know, some of the early ones were like getting rid of unsubscribing off of a lot of emails that fit a couple parameters that he gave, and then some other stuff around like social media and then scheduling time for yourself and a lot of stuff people talk about. But it's the way they all interacted together to literally create this like chain that, like, even to this day, I still spend, you know, a couple hours when I start the morning off. I don't pay attention to my phone when I get up. When I do, my day is off, but like 5-6 days a week, I still don't even open my phone up for the first hour when I get up. And so like all of a sudden, it's like you feel like you're in control of your day, which then opens up all these opportunities. So I just got rid of a whole ton of stuff, and it really was a reboot. So by the end of the month, a lot of the stuff in the beginning didn't really make sense, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to just trust him. He tells us to do it, do my homework every day. And then, you know, every day it was just like he would tell us stories or, you know, send us a video of how to implement. Sometimes it was very implementable stuff. And then other times it was just like opening up your mind type of stuff, like perspective, I guess, for lack of a better word.
So
after, it was just unbelievable. Like, I don't want to get on too long of a tangent on that, but yeah, just ask me anything you want about it, because I can't be a bigger fan of it.
So obviously we can't just sit here and say, all right, just, you know, give us a rundown of what the course teaches, because that would be sort of taking Perry Marshall's IP away from him a little bit. But I do want to hear more about like what has resulted for you from going through this. You know, what sort of changes have you made in your life, and what has the result been? Because I know I were having a call the other day, you know, this was probably 2 weeks ago, you and I were having a chat, and you were just telling me about all this stuff that's changed in your business. And essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, but you essentially told me, I don't do shit in my business anymore. I just have little minions running around doing all my shit for me now.
I just watched Despicable Me 3 last night, so that's funny that you referenced the minions. So basically, like, the biggest thing that I realized is, you know, and it took a little longer after the initial reboot, because you kind of blast out all this stuff and then you clean out the wreckage and see what's underneath. You know, you think you need a lot of stuff, but you really don't. Especially with like Facebook, like I don't get on Facebook till the evening most days, and it's just so nice to not be involved in everybody's like drama. So when it comes to that, what it actually allowed us to do, like in the month of November, we built a process to systemize our email writing. So I took all my systems for email writing, and I realized like, well, I don't have to do this anymore. Like, what if I practice a couple times and I, you know, critique and edit the guys, you know, we have like 3 full-time people, and then like I think 3 project managers, and my partner's Dean. So Dean's been on the show, so in case anyone's wondering, that's who I work with, and Dean manages all that stuff. So he actually, I remember I was really scared to, he's like, yeah, just shoot the video for me, and he kind of like fibbed me a little bit, and I shot the video for him, and then he just flipped it to the guys to turn into a process using actually Gonzalo, who's also another person who's been on the show, his stress resistance course. So we use that framework. So I just got rid of all my email writing. So basically, because of that course, like that took me out of all the copywriting that I didn't want to do, which allowed me to be more on the idea side and like the deal maker side. So kind of flashing forward now, a couple months in, I've still done the daily improvements. He really iterates that whole, like, I think in 80-20 sales and marketing, he talks about like 80-20 squared. And James Schramko, I think you guys had on the show here recently too with that book. He talked about that as well. Those two are the only guys I've ever known that have talked about that concept before. And long story short, I've kept compounding that to the point where I'm like, I have like the four C's of Brad. I went in and I was able, using Perry's frameworks that he talked about in the reboot, to say like, well, what do you really do that makes money? And I kind of, I bought that book from Schramko when you guys shared that, I think in the Facebook group or something like that.
Yeah, good book. Really good
and,
book.
And loved it so far. And so I kind of like parlayed those two ideas together and kind of like Frankensteined them into my own thing, which is the four C's of Brad. Which everything I've ever done in 10 years online has fit into one of these four C's or multiple of them. And everything I failed at has been outside of these. And those four C's are content, campaigns, connections, and counsel. So that's basically all I do now is I don't spend any time on any of the other stuff. And the reboot really forces you to realize, like, what's the 4% of what you do that gives you all your results? And Schramko talked about it. Perry wrote the foreword to a book, so I know they're friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's been like the biggest result. And it's hard to describe, but like to put it in numerical terms, just to give some context, I work maybe 3 to 4 hours a day and then have a little bit of time for calls. And we're doing pretty good. Like I can get on with somebody, record some questions and send that off to the guys. And, you know, I upload it to like a Dropbox folder, and Dean built me this really cool system. Bless his heart. The guys write the emails and I come back, edit them, and then come back. And I've actually outsourced my editing to a certain degree. I'm not fully done with the system as we record this. Like I'm still kind of testing a few things, but you know, I can flip that off to somebody for $50 and they'll go through all the emails and find all the grammar stuff. And then basically that's it. So, you know, I'm either doing one of those things. Am I creating content? Am I developing campaigns or improving campaigns? Am I connecting with people, or am I providing counsel, as like an advisor to different businesses? Mm-hmm. And that's it. I literally don't like everything. It has to fit in those things. And usually I like to do two or three of them at the same time. That's when I really am hyper productive when I enjoy this stuff too. Right. So right. I'm having more fun.
So where are you finding your minions who run your business for you?
Just the way Gonzalo talks about in Stress Free Systems. So like Dean hires them. He's had a couple of these guys have worked for us for a couple of years now. Two of them have worked for a little bit less than a year. They're Filipinos in this case, but like in one of my other businesses, we have designers in Latin America. So they're on the same time zone as us, which is pretty cool because Filipinos, like for East Coast, if it's 6 a.m. here, it's 6 p.m. there. They're directly 12 hours apart, like on daylight savings, to like Manila or whatever, I think is the time zone for there. And that's just what we do. We just use the stuff Gonzalo talks about in Joyproof and Stress Free Systems. Our business runs on Stress Free Systems. So not to plug Gonzalo, but like changed our business forever. So with the reboot, it actually refocused me to realize that like the core, the skeleton, the framework of the business runs on what Gonzalo teaches in Stress-Free Systems, and everything kind of stems from that. So like I come up with a system, like for example, like a marketing process or a way to connect with people. And then I say, how can I inject that into Stress-Free Systems to turn it into a process that like our guys can assist with, or even if they only do like 60% of it, that frees me up to be more on the phone. And I got to be like the guys taking notes and like recording the call. Like I actually have a guy, like this is one of the things I created off of the reboot. One of the lessons, I actually pay a guy $15 an hour per content to take notes on courses.
All right.
Because, you know, Perry talked about that in one of the lessons.
Is that the same guy that you referred to us? Because I think we...
Yeah, it's the same guy I referred to you guys. But it's been great. So like I'll actually have him take notes on the questionnaires. Like I have these series of email, like they answer the questions and that provides content to the emails. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool because I have him go through the audio. So those interviews generally take 15, 20 minutes. So what does that cost me? Like $4 or $5, and I just like flip him a $5 bill on PayPal, and he loves it. He's great. He actually is running businesses and stuff like that, and he's kind of trying to move more into my area. So I'm like, well, instead of just teaching you for free, why don't I pay you to go over some of the stuff and you can watch what I do, and I get what I need, and he gets to grow and become better himself. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a win-win, which I'm all about that. And but that's just like little things, and I mean there was something every day. Like I have all the emails saved in a folder because I'm still in. He attached this like membership, like I think it's called Renaissance Club. Mm-hmm. And every day he's always sending us emails, and a lot of them, I don't know if everybody like jives with his style because he's very engineer like. But my father's an engineering professor, so I get the way his brain works and the way he kind of organizes stuff. It just makes sense to me. And he just like opens up, like if I get like one or two ideas a week that I can easily put into action, they're just like little paradigm shifts and they compound like daily.
I like that.
And it's like, it's really sweet. It's so, it's almost small. If you're kind of in the hustling phase of your life, you won't notice it. But if you're kind of like present to the fact that like you can do stuff every day to get a little bit better, and over time that kind of like adds up, you know, if that's the phase you're in, you'll love like the reboot, because it forces you to really shut off, you know, the bad habits like being on Facebook all day. Yeah. And you know, just yeah, mindless texting and reading and crap like that. So it's pretty cool.
So before the course, I mean, I just want to frame this, and it's not going to be all about Perry's course, even though this is like massive breakthroughs for you. Weren't you working a boatload of hours?
Like, yeah. Well, it's funny. Yeah. I did work a lot of hours, and I worked a lot of hours doing garbage, right? So they're trash hours. They're not really work the way most people think about it. So kind of looking back to like what Schramko said, I've actually used like, I forget what he calls it, like EHR or something like that.
Effective hourly rate.
Hourly rate or something like that. It's like improving that number. I've talked about something similar and I call it like return on energy. Like that was kind of my thing, like ROE, which is actually like a finance term that I kind of repurposed. Yeah. And I've always kind of had that in my back of my mind. And I got away from that for a couple of years. You know, when I first got started online, it was really great. And then the last like 4 or 5 years, I've not been as diligent on that. And, you know, lazy habits kicked in and they kind of stacked up until now. So I was doing a lot of trash work. And so when I started the reboot, I couldn't see it because it was like, it's stuff that quote unquote needs to be done. And you know how like there's things in life where you think you need to do it, but you really don't. Mm-hmm. But it's not until you stop doing it that you realize, wait, nothing bad happened when I stopped doing that. Nobody got mad at me. Nobody is upset with me or whatever. So that's kind of what like the first week of the reboot, I was like, man, where's this going to drop? Like, where am I going to like step on a landmine and blow up, like, you know, piss off somebody or whatever? And never happened. But that was my fear at first. That was like my big objection before I bought it. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go in. I trust Brad's opinion. And I've loved Perry, that 80-20 sales and marketing book is like my favorite book from 2013. So I was like, yeah, let's just go all in. Let's take the risk. Nothing bad's going to happen. I was doing a lot of trash work. That's really what it was. And as soon as I stopped, I had all this extra time to really repurpose, like, what do you really do that everybody likes that creates all the value? And that's where, you know, kind of the four C's kind of came about as I percolated on. It took me about another month to figure that out. Like, it was over the holidays when I think I really got clear and I looked at everything and I was like, oh shoot, like, that's it. Like, and I love all those things. Everything else I hate doing. Like, I hate dealing. Like, I look at some of the WordPress stuff that you guys, Matt, I think you used to have that really cool WordPress business. And I'm like, I could never do that in a million years. Like, I don't even care. Like, I would lose my mind. So anyways,
well, I think that's a good segue, and we can probably always go back.
Sure.
But did you have something, Matt?
No. Oh, okay. I mean, I had something, but I was just going to make a comment about how I love anything in business that compounds, right? I love compound interest in sort of investments. I love SEO because I feel like SEO is sort of a compounding effect. The more blog posts you get out there, the more you know, the juice your site has, and the more that compound effects. And I feel like what you're doing with the reboot, Perry Marshall's reboot thing, is a very much a compounding effect. It feels so little at the beginning, but you stack these things and you stack these things and you stack these things, and then the next thing you know, they've just compounded to the point where your entire life has been changed.
Well, yeah, and like to take it away, like what I realized at the end of the month, and I looked back at my life and I realized I did this on accident with a whole lot of drama and like crazy work, but now I kind of do this at all. Like, I think that if you go and work, like I'm a very stable, I like things to like evolve, but I like that slow and steady evolution that compounds like daily, right? Like 1% a day type stuff. And it actually is a lot of change. But for me, I focus everything like 10% of my life. So like, you know, November was the reboot. So that was like productivity. December was actually like coming up with better frameworks to explain how to communicate. So I cratered all my old communication mindset and like upgraded it with the DISC stuff, which I told you guys about, which I think you guys want to talk about too. But that was December's. And like this month is all about offers and campaigns, because I've actually like, I never realized this, but I started to kind of get this hint in December, and part of the reboot was how much I despise the way a lot of like the traditional like make money online niche works. All the false scarcity, all that stuff. I mean, we've all talked about that before privately, and I just get really frustrated about having to play that game. And I'm like, I just don't want to do that anymore at this point in my life. I'm just like, there's enough problems in the world. And if someone has a solution, most people can't communicate the solution in a way where it's like eliminating people's pain, which, you know, we talked about Travis before the call and we've all worked with him. And that's like one thing I think he does well. And that's where like the compounding in December, like that's the way it all compounded, right? So I actually focus on one area of my life. So this month it's like, how do you communicate offers to people where you're solving their problem and being like that servant, like kind of like a servant to the people, if you will. I don't want to like sound religious or anything, but like looking at it from that point of view where like this product solves problems for people and how do you communicate that pain elimination to people? And that's the way I want to build businesses going forward.
That's solid, man.
You know,
and that's what's really cool. So right around that time, because I just look back on my Slack, Matt, you and I have a little Slack channel together. But yeah, it was mid-December. You sent over, and this is like a little transition to the disc thing. And a lot of this talk that you're doing is like you almost like found yourself or refound yourself.
Yeah.
And and you figured out what the hell's holding you back. What are you wasting your time with this trash work? Because I know. We're freaking guilty of this every single day, and you know Matt and I here, we're working it. But this test was freaking amazing, and it's free, which is really cool. And everybody can check it out. I'll give you the URL in a sec. But basically, it tells you exactly what holds you back, what you should be doing, how people should interact with you to like not push your buttons. Maybe there's ways to interact with people better. Whole list of things. It's like this massive assessment that you're like, wow, it's my life. Cool.
Yeah, no, this DISC personality assessment thing has been pretty phenomenal in the sense that not just, you know, a lot of what it told me about myself is stuff that, you know, I kind of already knew. Where I found the DISC assessment to be really, really amazing is that if you start asking other people to give you their DISC assessment, it basically gives you a roadmap for how to communicate with them, how to interact with them, and how to best deal with them to get the most effective results from various types of people. And so anybody listening to this podcast, before you know we kind of get Brad's take on the DISC assessment, make sure that you go to our website and you check our show notes page and you go do this DISC assessment. You're going to be blown away by the type of information that you get out of it.
Well, the way I tell it to people, like this is how I sell it to people. This is when everybody usually takes it is it's like living life with the cheat codes, right? It's like having the cheat codes. Like when I don't remember what it was called. It was like that genie thing on like Super NES where you plug the game in and it has all the codes and you're game playing genie, the games on
Game Genie.
Game Genie. That's what it was. Yeah. That's basically like what it's like. So that's how I explain it to people because basically what it did, like for myself, it kind of confirmed a lot of like long under like those little intuitions, you know, in the back of your mind. You're like, I don't really like this or this style of person, but like I can't figure out really what it is. I can't put my finger on it. And this is like, okay, now you can put your finger on it, both in yourself and others. So as soon as you know how this stuff works, so DISC stands for like, it's like how you make decisions. I is like how you interact. S is how you like your environment, like if you're like a stable or kind of more spontaneous. And then like C is how you like conscientiousness, which I kind of like think of the way they explain it is like how detail oriented you are and how you frame information. So like Dean and I have worked together. Dean was one of my first coaching students. I mean, this was like 2010 or 2011, something like that. And then we've been friends ever since. And him and I partnered up at the end of 15 again and stayed in touch. And he, you know, built his business and then his partner wanted to move on. And I kind of came in right about that time. And long story short, Dean and I on a lot of things, like we talk and like we both want the same thing, but the way we go about it in a lot of ways is like polar opposites. So like to give you an example, when I come across a problem, my first instinct is to call somebody who's already done it before and ask them to tell me how to do it. Like I am not the one to sit in front of a computer screen and like tinker with like a website to fix the way the image is showing up on a web page. Never going to happen with me. I've done it before. I'm miserable when I try to work that way. Whereas if I would like hit you up, Matt, because you know a lot about like WordPress. If I'm having a WordPress problem, I could spend 3 hours figuring it out and you'd be like, oh, dude, like 5 minutes. Like here's a Jing video. Boom, done. No problem. And I'd be a fool to not ask you for help, right? Whereas Dean he is like the master put stuff together at like he can figure anything out, like, and he can build anything. Once you kind of give him a brain, his brain can like convert it into like he can implement better than almost anybody I know. And like with that, with just not much direction either. It's pretty cool. But he'll sit there and figure it out. Like that's how he works. So he'll kind of go into like go beast mode and like turn his phone off and like he'll just get it done for an afternoon, as opposed to like calling somebody up. So where him and I would work, we worked really great together because we want the same stuff. But like when I finally realized how he framed information, what the disk profile allowed me to do, like him and I both took it. And Gonzalo also took it. We kind of worked, like had a little mini mastermind on this, the three of us. And what I realized is the way I make decisions and the way he makes decisions, we end up at the same result, but the pathway that we go is not the same. Mm-hmm. So once you understand how someone makes their decisions, because you know their disc, okay, if you're, you know, high D, low D, high I, low I, all those things, which will make sense once you guys take the test. If you're listening to that and don't know what that means, just take the test and you'll understand as soon as you do. It takes 10 minutes. But when you know that, you can frame how you talk to different people in a way where they receive information the most effective. Yep. So basically, one of the reasons why I can get more done now is because like if I know someone's like a high C, that means they're going to probably need like a lot of data and like, okay, well, you tell me it works, but when I show you the examples and the data attached to it, now it makes sense. That's how that person processes information. So if I go in like what I did in the past, I didn't realize this, but this is what I did. I'd be like, yeah, dude, like this is freaking awesome. Like this guy does it and this guy does it. Like all these people are doing it. We should do it too. Like something to that effect, right? Mm-hmm. And that was like, I'd get really excited about that because I'd be like, oh, I see this guy getting results. He's making a lot of money selling products with this campaign. And this guy over here is doing the same, so on. And then like sometimes like Dean would be like, well, what does that look like? And I'm like, who cares? Like, just like, here's the examples of the emails. Like, here they go. And it's like, for him, like, he would have to figure it out. And that's not how he processes information. So instead of taking like 15 minutes now, when I show him something and I give him the data, he's like, yep, dude, totally makes sense. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, it would take like 2 or 3 hours of like hashing and thrashing and all that stuff. And it was the only difference was the frame that I came at him with.
100%. And I have an example here.
And that's the biggest value of the disc test. I mean, once you do that, I save probably 2 hours a day. Like even with Christina, like when we're running our household, I can frame stuff because I know her disc. Mm-hmm. And our life is totally like, I mean, we still have our squabbles like any couple does, but like it's so much easier to understand where she's coming from when she asks me something. And I'm like, okay, I know this is not how I think, but like, okay, she thinks this way, so I need to say it a certain way so I get the point across, and takes 10 minutes rather than an hour, you know?
Here's another example, because Matt and I, we knew this from the day we started working together like 10 years ago or more now probably. I think it was 11 actually. I saw it on Facebook the other day. Crazy. But that we are completely opposites in the way that we approach problems as well, just like you, but we get to the same point, but somehow we still jive with each other. Matt's right. Not the extrovert. I am. He's more the analytical thinker. I'm not. That's why this show is called Hustle and Flowchart. But but what's really freaking cool is that we both took the disc after you told us, and there's a graph that shows this perfectly. And this completely made the visuals, I mean, it confirmed what we always thought and what we've right. seen happen, where
we'll even put a screenshot of this graph on the show notes.
It's drastic, man. So it's like this triangle. I know, Brad, you've seen this in the Slack channel.
Yeah.
Is that like mine off the chart is going to the eye. So this point of the triangle, and that's the extrovert kind of way that I approach people. His is extremely low. But my C, which is more of that procedural thinking and all that stuff, is very low. His is extremely high. So it's like literally the opposite triangle.
Yeah.
But on the other corners, but the D and the S, we both like stability. The D, I'm forgetting what that is, but we both like the same thing there too. So
we're both like at the same level.
So basically, well,
what's great about that is like, you know, Joe, you and I have an extremely close profile, like in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But like in the test, like for me, what was like, this is the second thing I do once I know what people's disk profile is, which is at the top of the report, I go down to like page, like whatever. And there's a lot of pages, but there's a lot of empty space. So don't get, you know, crazy. It only takes 10 minutes and it spits it out, is how to communicate with this person. Mm-hmm. So it's literally like, when you learn how, like everyone, I've had like literally like 25 people take this, people that I interact with, work with, friends, everything. Like, cause I'm just like building a massive database in my brain, because to me, this is like the number one way to connect with any person that you interact with. I'll send you guys this. I've been testing it out and it's probably like 80% accurate. It's this little app called Approach that was some company that does disk profiling for companies, has this little iPhone app that like you enter a bunch of like 12 questions and about who you're talking with before you go into like a sales meeting, like how they are. Ooh. And it'll tell you how to talk to them. I'll actually show you guys that. I don't know how to shoot a video of like how an app works, yeah. But anyways, I'll send that to you guys to give to people so they can quickly implement this if they're in like business meetings. But one of the things is like when you know how to communicate with people, all of a sudden, like everybody will like you more. Like, so I find that I have way less friction with people now. I don't take things personally. So like when I read, like, we worked on that project over the summer, and like one of the things it said, like in your profile, and I mean, you actually said this like two or three times and I thought it was brilliant, is like, what's the next steps? Mm-hmm. And it said in your profile, like, never leave the next steps like unclear,
right?
Or something to that effect. Right. And yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it's like, how does this test with like 10 little answers know that that's how he is? And like, I use that with everybody now. Like whenever I leave things off, it's like, okay, well I'll do X, Y, and Z by such and such a date. And then you do A, B, and C by such and such a date. And then like, we'll have a meeting the day after. So we, pad the schedule a little bit and then we'll move ahead.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, oh my God, that's great. Let's go. And it's like by one little reading of your profile, I swipe that one little data point and I use it with everybody. And literally, nice. Like I've done it with like 10 or 15 people and not a single one has been like, no, I don't really like to do that.
Yeah, who's gonna argue with that?
They're always like, yeah, dude, let's go.
Right.
Right.
That's cool.
So it's kind of cool,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one thing that was really noticeable in mine, and I think after reading it, everybody's like, "Yeah, that's you." Was the fact that I do not take anything at face value until there's data behind it and there's more information behind it.
There's like, always a debate going.
There's always a debate about everything. Like one example would be like maybe you or Joe or somebody would send me like a YouTube video and be like, "Dude, this guy is killing it doing this," and then I'll watch the video and be like, "That's an interesting technique," but what about this, 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 and this? And then I will analyze the shit out of it until people go, yeah, maybe that's not a good idea. like I will read into everything until I've just completely analyzed it, and then I will make my decision on it. And if anybody just tries to say like, oh, so-and-so is killing it doing this, I'm going to analyze whether or not it's going to work for me if you don't give me any sort of data like backed.
And sometimes I just want like an easy, like I want just a confirmation, like, yeah, all right, cool, great idea or something. I'm like, I just want a simple thing. And then I always like, no, all right, Matt's going to say, but.
Well, here's the thing. Like, here's the reason Joe and I work well together is there's this counterbalance. I do feel like in certain scenarios, Joe may more have a tendency to be like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's just jump into it. Where I have a tendency to be like, all right, wait, step back. Let's think this through. Let's discuss it. Let's analyze it. Let's make sure this is the right path. I go to the extreme in that direction. Joe tends to go to the extreme in the other direction. And so we balance each other out, and the result is somewhere in the middle. You know, Joe forces me to not overthink stuff so much, and I force Joe to not jump into things too quickly.
Agreed.
No, that's totally true. And it's funny because when I went visited Kennedy Space Center here, because it's about an hour east of us, and they actually said, like, in this one exhibit about the space shuttle, that when they launch the space shuttle, right before it breaks the Earth atmosphere, it like slows down about 10%. And then it blasts through, and that's what allows it to punch the gravity. So like it actually slows down to speed up. And I've always remembered that analogy when they were explaining that, because otherwise it would bounce off the atmosphere and blow up or something to that effect. But they have to slow down to pierce the Earth's gravity or whatever. And like that's kind of like what Dean does for me, where like I'll sometimes go so fast on something because, you know, like my natural tendency is to see a lot of people doing something, analyze it a little bit, and then, you know, find a couple of key holes, fix those, and then move ahead. But like where like your energy, like that counterbalance, sometimes slowing somebody down just enough to get them to get out of that, like, kind of like that almost like boyish exuberance. I have that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I'm all in all the time. And that's where sometimes that's gotten me in trouble over the years, because I, until very like the last few years, I haven't had that person to counterbalance that energy and say, well, Brad, like, have you thought this through? What about this, this, and this? And then I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably fix those things before we really go all out on this.
Do you think that would actually change your personality, or do you think it would just give you some more awareness where it might bring up a question in your brain? I'm just asking
it totally does. Exactly what you said. Like, it actually, it's very helpful for me, but like, until I understood that, like my partner Dean and Matt are very similar in this respect. Mm-hmm. And that's where, once I understood how he processes information, I could see the value, and kind of like the way I like to think about it is like, I can borrow that mindset for a little bit, like put the helmet on, think like that for a little bit, take it back off and still be myself.
Yeah.
So like 95% of the time I'm just myself. Like, I really follow my DISC profile a lot. Like, I look at all the sections, like it gives you feedback on like how to be better at work, how to interact with people better, how to stay motivated. I follow all those things very almost religiously. And even when I read someone's profile, I will actually give them advice framed in their profile, right? Just to be more effective. And it works great. Life is a lot easier, actually. It takes a little bit of work at first to kind of get the hang of it, but it's good. But like with that, I actually find a lot of value, because like Gonzalo, we brought him in as an advisory in our business, and we'd been working with him for a while, so we just kind of formalized it a little bit. And it was great because Gonzalo's wife is a high D and a high C. And so she and Dean think a lot alike in certain areas. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Gonzalo has a lot of experience. Like, he's had, like, he's been married for, you know, quite a while, and he knows how she processes information. So him and I are very similar in certain respects. And then he's also knows how Dean's mindset works, because his wife's the same way. So he actually helps me filter that. And it's worked out really well. Like, we've been doing, like, having him as an advisor, because he actually forces me to think a little bit like Dean, not like maybe think like him, but know how to frame it from his point of view.
Yeah.
And everything is so much faster now. It's like, you know, going from like first gear to fifth gear, like instantaneously. And it's so much fun, because you get to the point where you're like, man, like, my partner's freaking brilliant about XYZ like thing. And this is like his thing. Like, I was talking to Dean the other day, and I was like, dude, I know without a shadow of a doubt, given like the right data and like point of view, you could build anything. And he's like, damn right I could.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how like cool is that to work with people who have that level of confidence? And like, you can let go and say, look, bro, I'm not like you. You do your thing. I trust you. I got your back. Whatever you need from me, I'm there. But you lead on this, because this is like your strong suit. And then you can like kind of like have faith that they will deliver on their like whatever it is that they do. But it's only because you respect their mindset and like how they process information. I don't mean to be like woo-woo or anything, but like, to me, I put a lot of value on that in business. Is like, when you get someone's like vibe and you're like kind of like flow, it's kind of like music, right? If everybody's just like slamming notes and stuff on all the different instruments, it's noise, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then as soon as people are like harmonized, it's like now you have a band.
Yeah.
And like, that's the way I like to think of DISC, is like, instead of like the guy drumming in the back going bat crazy, and then a guy on the guitar booing his thing, and the guy singing doing his thing, and then it's all like, what the hell is that noise? And then all of a sudden, when you guys like sync up and you're like kind of like jiving with each other, that's like what the DISC is. It's like the business communication version of like when a band kind of harmonizes and they're all like, I don't know a lot about music, but like when they all sound good together because they're working with each other rather than like countering
with
noise. I don't know if that makes any
sense.
That
makes perfect sense. And I've been thinking about this based off of stuff that Matt and I will do. You know, if, for instance, if we have an idea, you know, I'll think one thing, he'll think another. We obviously are talking about it because the goal that we want to get to is the same, roughly. But it's the procedure, the way we're going to approach this thing. We were kind of throwing out the idea, and it's kind of like the advisor, what you did with Gonzalo. What are your thoughts on getting like a third party person outside of vested interest, or maybe they do as an advisor, who knows? I don't know what your take is, but like someone like a you, for instance, on our business, if we have like something that we're just debating about, we just can't reach a specific way forward.
A business mediator.
Yeah, exactly. Or just someone who has our best interest, both of ours, at company as a whole, whatever, life. But maybe it's that, hey, you know, let's try this or let's go with that, that I, you know, it's kind of that outside perspective.
Well, it's actually been great. So what's funny about this is that the better you get at being an advisor for others, the more you need it yourself. So like this is where like pride kind of kicks in and you have to like check your ego at the door and really be focused on like the outcome that you want to achieve. So like in your guys' case, if you guys are 100% aligned on the outcome, but you're just not quite sure the best route to get there, that's really easy to fix. There's a different type of advisor, like third party, to figure out like, are we aligned on the big picture stuff? Because you got to do that first before you can actually figure out where you want to go. Right? If you don't know where you want to go on vacation, it's kind of hard to figure out how you're going to get there.
Right.
And a lot of people kind of go about this second way. They're like, oh, I've just been working and working and working and working, and hopefully I'll end up where I want. And it's like, yeah, not really effective. So like in my case, like I have a good way of getting people unstuck because like the way I go about it is I like to ask questions and I find people exceedingly interesting. And especially now with like the disc, once I have them take it, I understand kind of better. I mean, I still have my blind spots like we all do, but it's a little bit easier. So like what I'll do is I'll help people get unstuck by asking questions and getting them refocused on that bigger picture, because then you can say, well, like who is the right person for this strategy? And then it becomes like a, I lead on this, you lead on that. Mm-hmm. And that's really important, is to like really divvy up the responsibilities, but not based upon like, well, I do this and you do that, but more like, well, in this situation, you know, like if you were doing like, say, affiliates, and you were like, yeah, we really want to get affiliates. And you know, people kind of, I've done a lot of that in the past and made a lot of money for a lot of people, but like the conscientious people who maybe don't like to talk to people as much, or they're a little more nervous, like the low I, you know, and then one partner is a high eye, I can be like, well, look, so-and-so is handling this, but that's not really his flow. So why don't we flip this around? And when you go reach out to Bob, Jim, John, and Joe, come back with these four data points. So your partner understands, like, because it's the data side of the affiliate arrangement, not just the friendship, you know, hey, are you excited to run our promotion? Like that's a high eye task. Whereas like Dean is like, dude, go out and get deals and then come back to me with like X, Y, and Z so that we can actually implement it. So one of the big mistakes that I made in the fourth quarter is I'm not always the greatest person to project manage, especially when there's a corporate entity involved. I don't have a lot of experience working in that environment where people are very much like cover their own butt as opposed to just figuring out how to get the project done. Like I'm just like, let's win, let's go, right? And then that's my natural flow. And I had to grow a lot, like, we're working on this one deal that's taken forever because I'm not experienced in that. So Dean kind of stepped in and managed that, and it worked. Now all of a sudden everything's back on track and moving like lightning quick.
Nice.
Just by switching that person around. So like coming in as an advisor, like I'm working with a gentleman now. We're getting ready to finalize the contract to get a project out. And he said to me, he's like, dude, you help people get unstuck because you empathize with their stories and you know where they're at, but you don't buy into the BS. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I do that. That's kind of what I do. Like my interacting with people, like I hear what they're saying. I understand that to them, it's a big deal, but I also know that most of the time fears are just that, they're BS. Mm-hmm. So if I can kind of like acknowledge, but then kind of redirect them away from their fear. I've had people shift things so fast that they don't even, they're like, I don't know how the hell I would have ever done this without you. Right. And like, same with Travis, like with the coaching I'm doing there, like, you know, I eat my own cooking. I was stuck in certain areas and he said some things to me and I'm just like, man, like I've done this stuff 10 years and I never heard anyone say it so succinctly in that one specific area. So like when you be like, one thing I realized in 2017, when you become an advisor, and I did like half a dozen advisory deals last year, some better, some didn't work out as well as I wanted. And the biggest thing I realized is that I actually needed more advisors last year. And towards the end of the year, that's what I did. Disc was an advisor, even though it wasn't really like a person, it was like a test. Mm-hmm. And then like we brought in Gonzalo to fix this problem in the business. And it's working like unbelievably, how much faster we're going on things. and, you know, yeah. I hired Travis as an advisor for this, you know, to be better at offers. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. You find someone who has that fix for you. You pay them to use their thing. Now you integrate it into yourself, and now you're more effective. And that's
it's true. I mean,
that's the best way to think about it.
We kind of use this podcast actually as almost like our pool of advisors. And that's what we actually love about this show is, you know, when we have issues that we need to solve in our business, we go and figure out, okay, who's the best person that could solve this? And then we chase them up and chase them up and chase them up and then get them on the show. And so yep. we kind of use that as a little bit of a mediator. But I do think what you said in there was gold as far as, you know, this isn't obviously relevant to everybody because not everybody has a partnership. But I do think it's very, very important that roles be split and each person kind of knows, okay, I'm going to focus on this, you focus on that. And you know, and Joe and I have kind of done that with our business. Like, he's essentially the CEO on one aspect of the business. I'm essentially the CEO on another aspect of the business. But there are things that occasionally we kind of, you know, I get into my analytical mind and I say, I don't know if this is a good idea. And he says, yes, this is a good idea. And we do need that sort of mediator thing. And I think the podcast helps with that. And the network we've built around the podcast helps with that. And so
I would love to do that for you guys. I mean, we've worked together for years now. I mean, I know both you guys pretty well. I mean, I would love that because, I mean, regardless of whatever the details are for the specific situation, it's like once you understand people and you care, like that's the big mm-hmm. thing, you know, like, cause I even take this out outside of this, like the way you interact with your spouse or significant other will dramatically improve because this is like the best problem solving framework that I've ever seen. And there's a couple of them that I use, and DISC is more practical than a lot of them. Cause I don't like a lot of stuff that's hard to convert into action steps. Like I find that, like, even though sometimes I talk a lot and I've always been very extroverted that way, I do like when people can say, well, yeah, Brad, I hear you, but like, what's the next step? And I grew a lot in that area in 2017, like just like framing that, because in my mind I would have all those next steps, but I would never verbalize them to other people.
Right.
And I didn't realize that other people couldn't see that, because like in my brain, the next steps are as clear as day. So why do I even need to say it? That's kind of like what my unconscious was doing.
Yeah.
So as soon as I realized that not everybody thinks that way, and the DISC helped me to see that, it's like, oh, dude, like, well, I had that information all along. And I was joking with Dee the other day. I was like, you know, for the longest time in our partnership, to give you guys a practical example, I would give him so much information because I thought for him to speed up, I needed to give him more, examples, more templates, more frameworks. And he's kind of like, that actually slows him down because he can't make a decision between X and Y. Yeah.
He can only use so much data. He's that data brain.
And I'm like, I laugh at it now. It's so funny because it's like, we were so slow. And it was just because, like, as soon as I stopped doing that, well, like, less, he makes more decisions faster than me.
There's
it's
also
crazy.
An element of like the data bias. And this is me and my analytical brain that's going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here.
That's okay.
But let's say that Joe was trying to prove a point to me that, like, oh, we need to get into e-commerce. This is just an example. He's never tried to get me into e-commerce. But let's just say that, like, Joe is saying, we need to get into e-commerce. Here's proof. And he sent me like 10 YouTube videos. Well, because he's already believing that we need to get into e-commerce, he's going to send me all the information that's going to prove his point versus information that prove that discusses both sides. So there is a little bit of an information data bias that can happen if you're trying to prove a point to me that this is the path we need to go down. And me being that analytical side, I don't want you to send me all that. I want you to tell me your point, and I'm going to go do my own research and look at both sides of the picture.
Independent research.
There's actually a thing, and I read an article about this on Bloomberg yesterday, and the context was politics, but there, you know, everybody says like people are going to believe whatever their party says, and like, which is called confirmation bias. But there's actually another bias at work, and they've done studies on this, where it's called desirability bias. So if information is received more efficiently when it shows the thing you already desire. So like, I forget the context of how they tested this, but there was like, I think it was something like, if Democrats who voted for Hillary expected Trump to win, when Trump won, they weren't as disappointed as Democrats who got information that like they wanted Hillary to win. And then when they found out she lost and they didn't think Trump was going to win. So depending on how people thought like the thing would go would be how they reacted, and they did like surveys and stuff, and that was kind of the basic context. But there's actually the desirability thing. So if you already believe something, and you're looking for information that confirms the thing you already believe, well, that's a bias. Mm-hmm. But then there's also like, does this information tell me about like what I desire the most? Does it help me desire the thing I already want more? And I've only read that one article about it, but it's just funny. This came up yesterday where I know I do that, where I'm like, I'll find 10 videos that like that, I do that, yeah. Like exactly what you said about like give you the 10 videos that prove the one side rather than the pros and the cons, which
exactly.
is, it actually says that in the disc profile, high C people are like, give me the pros and the cons and then we'll weigh them and then we'll thrash it.
Yep,
and,
exactly.
And as opposed to just giving me the one sided view, which is very much the way eyes are, like a high eye personality is able to persuade very easily. So like for me, I would go out and talk to people and ask them questions to kind of persuade them away. And that's actually something that like Dean and I, with Gonzalo's help, have discovered about the way him and I interact, is that if I look at his profile and mine side by side, and I'll put them up on the screen and I'll analyze them and I'll be like, yeah, I've definitely done that, where I will try to persuade him to my point of view. And because he is, because he's a low eye, I've had to have to look again. He will initially buy into my perspective, but in the back of his mind, he'll have kind of like something similar to like buyer's remorse, like on a, like a decision remorse maybe.
Yeah.
And he'll go slow because he'll realize, yeah, I really bought in the beginning, but there's things I just don't understand. And now I'm a little like nervous, and it's all unconscious stuff, right, guys? Like none of this is conscious.
That describes me as well. I mean, I'm the type that will make a decision, we'll go forward on it, and I'll be like, oh shit. Then I'll start to second guess the decision. I could definitely see that. And I think Dean and I are probably very similar in a lot of respects. You know, you are,
by the way, I've read both your profiles. You're probably like 80-90% similar in some ways, but the one difference is your D's are different. Like his D is
my D
slightly
is definitely
lower than yours.
Different.
Hey. Oh, man, I walked right into that one. I'm sorry. I walked right into that one.
Yeah, you did.
we actually do have to wrap up. I do want to kind of end on one little point. I'm not typically a big fan of these analysis.
This has been a big fucking debate with Matt and I, actually.
I don't really like a lot of these assessment type things. I feel like there's a lot of self-fulfilling prophecy involved. It's almost like the horoscope type thing where you take this assessment, it tells you that you're this one way, and now your brain starts thinking, okay, this assessment told me I'm this way, so I'm going to start acting this way. So I do think there's a large self-fulfilling prophecy element to these assessments. However, this DISC element, I feel, has been different than any of the other assessments that I've taken, because it actually does have really great information on how to interact with people like me, how to interact with people like Joe in the most effective manner. And that's what I like about it. It's not just like, here's who you are. It's a, here's how people should interact with you. And it gives you information on the best way to approach situations with the type of people, which is why I actually like this assessment, but have not been a fan of pretty much any other assessment I've ever taken that is similar.
Sure. So it's like this, right? Like if you think of it like this, if you could choose the easy way or the hard way and get the same outcome, why would you ever choose the hard way? Unless you have a suffering like identity where you just love to suffer and you know, put yourself through hell to prove to yourself that you're awesome. Mm-hmm. If you're past that in your life, you know, anyone listening, because a lot of people have this and they don't realize it. But if you're one of those people that's like, look, I want to get to the most effective outcome. And like, you also get to the point, like for me in this, I'm 32 and I'm at the point in my life where like, I don't want people to change. I don't believe people change. I think they evolve over time, but generally people stay basically the same, but they just evolve and become more effective as they grow up and get older. And that's where I think, it's really important to look at this and say, like, you're not changing people. You're looking at people. This is the way this person is. That I might be able to have them have this big breakthrough awakening thing, like, you know, everybody wants to have, like, in the self-development world. Or I could say that this is the way the person is. I'm going to work with them the way they are and create the most effective outcome and the least amount of stress. So this is how to interact with people with as little stress as possible.
Yeah, well said.
Bottom line, like that's it. Like, and if you're not willing to take 10 minutes and take the test, which I mean, you guys will link to the show notes and it's free, right? Like the one that we're talking about. It's like, if you're not willing to do that, then like, I don't know how to help you. Like, I don't really know how to help somebody if they're not willing to take 10 minutes and not pay any money and then pay attention to it and read the damn thing. And then do it with your friends, do it with your spouse, do it with everyone you interact with, and realize like your life will be exponentially easier. And the thing too about it, you'll also be more yourself. Cause like you say that, that confirmation where it kind of tells you what you already are, like a placebo effect type of thing. That's actually why it's effective, because instead of second guessing yourself and like saying, well, I'm this way, and like all these other people who are successful are this way, and I need to change to be like them. No, bro, you need to be like yourself. Like, stop trying to change who you are, be more yourself. And then, and when you're with those people, interact with them that in a way that's effective for them, and you're still yourself. You're just kind of like borrowing another frame of mind when you're talking to that type of person. That's, that's the way to really think about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's give them some next steps. So exactly what you said. So if you're listening, just go to the show notes page at evergreenprofits.com. And click there.
I got a lot of stuff I'm linking you to on this one.
Totally free. Matt, take the rest.
Yeah, I'm gonna show you a screenshot of mine and Joe's disc graph, because we talked about this, about how they compare, and we're gonna link you out to the disc, and we're gonna link you to Perry Marshall's stuff and Gonzalo's stuff and Dean's stuff that we've done with him, because we've talked about a lot, and this has been a pretty very wide range conversation.
And I wanna get on freaking Perry's thing, because
it's not always open.
Yeah, we put our names in there, I think, a month ago when we heard this, and still it's closed. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Hit up
their support desk. I don't know how they run that. I just know it was like starting, because it started at the beginning of the month, like at the calendar month. I don't know how often they run it. It's been changed my life forever. I mean, it's one of the best things I've ever purchased, you know, frankly.
Right. So we've got a couple little wrap up questions that you've already answered once before, but are there any new books that you can recommend from that you've read recently? I think you've been the last time you were on the show was like
the Schramko book is one. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I'll say it anyway. Like, I've been reading the Bible a lot and getting a lot of really good productivity insights out of that. I have a free Bible app on, like, it's called YouVersion. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. If anyone's into that, like, there's a lot of business stuff in there, lessons and things that have really helped me out. The other thing I would say that I've really enjoyed was Schramko's book that you guys had on. I'm still I'm like three quarters of the way done, because I got stuck on, you know, doing other things in December and the holidays and took some time off.
Yep.
But I've picked up like every page. There's like one little insight, and it's written, I mean, at least for my style of reading,
amazing. Yeah.
It reads like a conversation, not a thick, dense text. So like, I really dug that a lot. I know you already recommended that book, but
we had James good. On the show. Yeah.
80/20 Sales and Marketing from 2013. I mean, he's got a free funnel on there where you can get like a free copy shipped in the mail. You can pay like $20 on Amazon to get the Kindle. I've got that print Kindle audiobook. I listen to it twice a year. I get new insights every single time. I'm actually due here in like February to read it. It's been over six months in February, cool. So I'll probably read that next month.
So do you have a website right now that
I'm actually getting ready to start Leverage Show. Like I told you guys about that. One book, by the way, Ray Dalio's Principles. That's the other one I'm listening to right now.
It's freaking incredible. That is an awesome book. It's huge. Yeah, but it's good.
As for websites, I'm getting ready to start the podcast, Leverage Show, where I get on with people and I talk about. I'm actually going to record some seed content here in the next week or two, and load it up, and then get started to interview people where I find out like the number one piece of leverage in their business that they wish they had when they started. And that's where the conversation goes. Everybody answers the same question. I'm really excited about it. I've got like 9 or 10 people that have already said they would get on. So I'm still figuring out the schedule and stuff, like probably a couple times a week, with some episodes out there. Cool. But it's actually like my kind of like way to connect with people that I've always wanted to talk to and ask them a question that I've never seen anyone answer. Like Costanzo's actually helping me. Brad Costanzo's helping me a lot with like just getting this stuff up, and you guys have shared some things. So I'm really excited about that project, but that's right now. The website, and obviously like Dean and I run the Online Empire Academy together. So
that's
the onlineempireacademy.com. So
sweet. Well,
those are my sites.
It's been real. It's been awesome. I think hopefully we're going to be on your podcast at some point.
Get us
on. Yes. Yeah, for sure. You guys are in the first group of people that I want to record with. So,
and everything you mentioned today is going to be in the show notes. So if you're listening to this in your car or out for a run, get to your computer now. Just stop whatever you're doing.
This is funny. Matt's talking about running. Matt's never run a day in his life.
I run on...
Funny story, and then we'll wrap up. Yeah, I took him to a track.
We don't need any funny stories about me
took
running.
Took him to the track down the street. This is like 10 years ago. His only freaking shoes were basketball shoes. He ran two laps, and then he bitched at me because he had blisters all over his feet. And then he was like running like a clunk, clunk, clunk. I'm like, what the
fuck
hell?
Fuck running. That's why, because fuck running. There's so many better exercises.
There are now. I used to run, and now I don't really like it.
All right. So. Anyway, okay. we gotta run. So
no, we don't. We're not running. Okay.
All right. Anyway, thank you, Brad. On that note, we'll go ahead and wrap
up. I'm dying. I'm so laughing. I had to like mute myself. I'm like laughing my butt off.
It's okay.
All right,
oh
dude.
Lord, that's funny.
See you, buddy.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. And go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learned there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.